Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's good to talk to you. I got to say, it's been an incredible week. The past week, I mean, everything has changed since we last spoke before when it comes to the stock market. I was bullish, thinking this was a new cyclical bull market, but the averages are okay. The S&P is okay. So at the moment, but I think the news is really pretty serious and will impact things going forward. Not maybe in the way people are thinking in the short term, though.
Well, people just wonder how secure are their bank deposits, and is there any money to actually pay the insurance that you have on deposits in the U.S. of up to $250,000, and in Canada, a measly $100,000.
Yeah, that's been the immediate concern, and I know, you know, on social media last weekend, where I live, someone was saying, oh, you better go to the bank, they're all going to fail. Well, I think that's all pretty alarmist and isn't going to happen. It's not happening. And the reason why is that on last Sunday, the Treasury Department, in conjunction with the Federal Reserve, announced a new lending program. So any bank that needs money for the next 12 months, all they have to do is put up some collateral, and they can basically get interest-free loans. And this was done in order to prevent, in order to make it so if things were to get worse, people, you know, the banks can easily pay people their deposits, even if it's over $250,000 in the United States. So, I mean, these are extraordinary measures. I had to go to the doctor. I'm okay. I went and got a colonoscopy last Friday, and when all this really broke out, and when I got home, I turned on the TV, I saw the headline, and I saw regional bank stocks down 40%, which is pretty shocking. I didn't need to know the details of this SVB bank, which we know now. I never heard of it before Friday. But just what was happening was enough in seeing these bank stocks down. It didn't scare me into thinking that a bank run is coming or something, or we're not going to get our money out of the bank, but it's going to hurt things going forward. And I frankly, as I said, I had been bullish on the U.S. stock market, and then I sold the things I've bought in January. I sold last Friday. The news, it's the cause of this, which isn't the suddenness of how this hit and the stocks crashed and this all ignited is pretty remarkable. I mean, if you look at these regional banks, most of them, almost all of them, were going up. They're in uptrends or trading, really with the S&P 500, and then they just crashed instantly. And I looked to try to explain what I think is an important thing is to understand why this happened, and what the consequences are going to be. So I looked at local banks where I live, and they had lost 5% of their net asset value over the last year. That's what they were reporting in their earnings. But their earnings revenue was up. Some of these guys were increasing their dividend. And what people need to understand is why banks across the board lost some of their net asset value. Now, this is not 2008. In 2008, 10% of the assets of these big investment banks was in subprime mortgages worth zero. And no one cared for like 10 months, then it all blew up. That's not what's happening now at all. This is not 2008, and there's no reason for people to be really alarmed in that sense. But everyone, pretty much, that's been investing in the markets has lost money last year because stocks went down and bonds went down too. The average American lost 22% in their accounts. And in our lifetimes, pretty much, or at least as long as most people alive now have been following this stuff, unless you're 70 years or older, there had never been a bear market in bonds and stocks at the same time since the 1970s. So people never experienced that, and they got hit last year. Well, this hit the banks. This is why their balance sheet shrunk, because these banks, they own treasury bonds, and treasury bonds fell in value last year. When interest rates go up, these bonds go down in value. They're tied to interest rates, and that's why the balance sheet shrunk. Now, there's a saying, when the tide goes out in the markets because of a bear market or a recession, the riskiest companies, and in this case banks, are the ones that are exposed, you know. They're sitting out in the water, the tide comes in, and you see what is really going on. So this SVB was one of, you know, we now know was one of the riskiest banks. It wasn't so much what they owned on the balance sheet. It wasn't just that. It was who they were lending to. They lended to crypto companies that have no revenue, venture capital companies that are concepts with no real products. And these fantasies. And so, you know, those are very risky lending. It's not like they're just simply lending out to some guy that has a, you know, building a house or something that has a real asset. If these companies aren't successful, they have nothing. And we've seen how these concepts means can often lead to nowhere. Metaverse is an empty concept. It was exciting 2 years ago, but no one uses it. You know, you could go on there. There's no one there that you know. And countless other of these concept companies are just failures. So that bank went under, and that woke people up to worrying, oh, is this or that bank, you know, in trouble too? Well, it's you know, overly panicky, I would say. But the problem now is that the Fed, we have this inflation battle that they've been trying to fight, and historically they only defeat it for good when they can get interest, the Fed funds rate, above the CPI annualized inflation rate, which currently is around 6%. And interest rates are 4.75. And now it looks like we may get one more hike, and that's it as a result of all this. So in the long run, the Fed is going to fail here at beating back inflation. And that's the first major consequence. Yes, inflation may pause or continue to go down a little bit, but 10 months from now, don't be shocked if it comes roaring back worse than we've seen it yet. The second consequence is banks are going to get more conservative. You know, they're going to tighten up their own lending standards. And the CEOs, I would expect, of all these banks, not necessarily in coordination with each other, but because they have to feel like they must act. They all have board of directors. They all have shareholders. They've seen the stocks crash. They've seen the scary headlines. And the fear, quite frankly, that's been falsely fomented by people to try to scare them and tell them, oh, buy Bitcoin, that's the solution. It's not. But regardless, the CEOs of these banks, they're going to want to show, hey, I'm doing something. We may not be able to lend out as much money. We need to be more careful. But look what I'm doing. And I think I'm afraid what they're going to do is they're going to start going after, you know, people who aren't paying their debts off and foreclose on them and bite customers in order to, you know, boost their profits a little bit and just show that they're doing something. And then they may fear, you know, so that can all cause a recession. So I think we are in a state where the result of this is going to be the economy is probably going to slow down. The Fed won't be able to raise interest rates for one more time, if that. And then after the slowdown, I'm not saying there's going to be depression or some crazy thing like that, but just a mere, you know, slowdown. Once it's over, the inflation will probably come roaring back bigger. So in this environment, very difficult to just say, I'm going to be real careful and put all my money in CDs, which frankly, I have a lot of my money in CDs because they may go down in value when inflation picks up. And the only real solution at this point is gold and silver. And I don't think it's a coincidence that gold and silver have been going up ever since this news broke. Yeah, they'll have their pauses and stuff, but gold and silver are the solution for, you know, when there's financial woes like this, when the Fed can't raise interest rates too much more. It's not simply, I bought more gold and silver. I sold stuff Friday and I bought more gold and silver ETF. And it's not simply that, oh, I think they're going to go up and I want to make money when they go up. I think you have to own them now as a defensive measure for the next inning of this mess that we're in our economy. It's been imbalanced for over a decade. And this is just the next story that's coming. The last story of this Fed hiking cycle is coming to an end. That's the ultimate consequence of what happened. And now we're going into the next chapter. In the next chapter, it's going to be gold and silver that may be the only thing really going up in a meaningful way for a while.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what do you think is going to go on with crude?
Well, it's been dipping for, you know, the past couple months, and I think it's likely to continue to do that at this point. I don't, you know, it broke down too. You know, if you look at a chart, the low was $70 a barrel, made that low in December, and then it rallied above 80, and it broke below that this week. And I think that's a sign that the economy is going to continue to weaken and globally. One key element of this whole thing is that if you follow the news, this started with SVB. It really started with a crazy crypto bank a week or two before that called Silvergate. But SVB is the one that shook everything up. Well, yesterday it spread to Europe. Credit Suisse blew up. Now it's up 23, you know, crashed, but now it's up today as the Swiss National Bank is doing an intervention. But the point is this everything I've said that applies mainly, in my mind, to the United States, it applies to Europe now. Because in Canada, every country basically has the same problem, and that is they took interest rates to zero. And these banks bought bonds 2 or 3 years ago when interest rates were zero, and now those bonds have fallen in value as rates went up, and so their balance sheets have shrunk. So the very problem fueling the chaos in the United States has spread to Europe. It could spread, you know, I don't see the headlines in Canada where it's dire there or anything, but it could spread there. It could, it's gonna, you know, these problems are everywhere because of interest rates going to zero. That was the, you know, that's, you know, I see people blaming, you know, what, saying, oh, SVB on Fox, they said it was a woke bank. And then people are saying, well, you know, they loosened the regulations and, you know, 20 different things. But the reality is none of this would happen if interest rates never went to zero. That was the ultimate, trigger of all this. And, yeah, the market went up in 2020. People got payments. They put it in Robinhood accounts. But this is the cost. And it's, you know, it's a mess. So, unfortunately, you know, if banks have to tighten up in Europe and other all over the world, it's going to slow the economy down globally. And so I think that's the reason why oil broke below $70 a barrel yesterday. And while gold and silver have been up since Friday, just about every other commodity in the world has dropped a little bit. And I think that's a sign of likely weakness probably the rest of this year, and it'll bottom out. Everything will bottom out. And, you know, maybe next year we see a better economy, but I definitely think we're in for a couple months of economic slowdown and weakness.
Are lithium and copper good long-term bets with the drive towards more electric vehicles?
I don't know. You know, this whole electric vehicle thing, I think they're good bets anyway. I mean, to put it that way, I think, especially copper. I'm not really an expert on lithium. I mean, I guess it's just mainly used for these batteries. But I don't know if we're on the verge of this giant boom in electric vehicles. It's just going to take over everything. That's the way it's been talked about for the past couple of years. But from what I can tell, a lot of people don't like these cars. And they're not really environmentally better. That was all nonsense when we were told that, because you know, you got to mine all these metals to build the batteries and do this and that. And, you know, there's a environmental cost to doing that. So they're not really like solutions to this so-called environment, you know, global warming or whatever. But I do think copper's good, and it is most commodities, and that would include lithium, but not today. Cause I think it's like the oil situation. I think, yeah, they may dip a little bit more from here. They've already broken down technically. I'm looking at the copper chart, and it broke its low of February and in March yesterday. It broke down yesterday, but that just means it's likely to correct or dip for a couple of weeks. And when oil and copper and lithium and all these things do make a new bottom, and it'll probably, you know, I think they'll be good over the, you know, decade. Cause I do think, as I said, that we are going to head for a lot of inflation, even if right now, because of the economy likely to slow down, it may not seem like that. The inflation may actually dip. We may see good headlines about inflation and oil dipping and copper breaking down would suggest that, but they'll bottom out, and then at some point this year, and if not, you know, quicker than I'm expecting, I'm not sure the timing of it. This just broke down yesterday, but they could do very well, you know, next year and the years after.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, really, I would suggest that people, at the, you know, unless you're on margin or something, most people probably don't really have to do that much at the moment. I certainly don't think this news is something that people need to, like, go take their money out of the bank. I think it's just time to wait and see how these markets trade out here before, you know, making any big decisions or big trades for that matter.
Patience rather than panic.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.